Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Since even before the presidential campaign began and continuing up until today, it's a rare day that the issue of refugees and immigration doesn't come up somewhere in the news or general conversation. I've been aware of very little focus, though, on the plight of senior refugees, on the experiences of immigrants in the U.S. Today, I'll be reading a report on Indiana's refugee services from Coalition of Limited Speaking Elderly, CLESE or CLESE, an exemplary program. Refugee elders support each other after a long, difficult journey from Diverse Elders, November 2016. And in addition, some portions of the Population Reference Bureau's Elderly Immigrants Report in the United States by Paolo Scamanica, which references general population of refugees, some ethnic groups, but few specific nationalities. And I will begin with Refugee Services Coalition of Limited English Speaking Elderly, or CLESE. Elderly refugees will be linked to Older Americans Act, OAA. Well, who is a refugee? The United Nations defines a refugee as a person who, owning to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, and membership of a particular social group, or a political opinion, is outside the country of his nationality and is unable to, or owning to such fear, unwilling to avail himself of the protection of that country. In real life, many refugees have fled their lifelong homes at a moment's notice, seen or experienced war, trauma, and/or torture, and/or spent months, years, or even decades living in unsafe or unsanitary refugee camps without knowing if they will ever be able to leave or return to their home country. Unlike immigrants who choose to leave their home country seeking a better life for themselves or their family, refugees are forced to leave their home under duress. Most refugees are forced to abandon their homes, savings, and other material assets that they may own. Refugees who can never safely return home do not choose where they are to be resettled. The U.S. State Department determines how many and which individuals are permitted to settle in the United States. These individuals are required to pay for their airfare to the United States, usually in installments after they arrive and become employed. Most of them arrive with no financial resources and with little or no English, few prospects for employment above minimum wage. And those refugees are given services by the Older Americans Act and the cross-training caseworkers from Refugee Resettlement and Aging Services Networks. Resettlement agency staff will learn what services and programs are available through the OAA and through Illinois State Programs for Seniors and how to refer refugees to the services. Aging Services caseworkers will learn about the special needs of elderly refugees and develop cultural competencies for effective service delivery to elderly refugees. Elderly refugees will be enrolled in language and civics classes, which prepare them for naturalization. Classes will be offered at two levels, depending on each refugee's initial level of English proficiency, and will utilize a curriculum designed for older learners who are low literate in their own native language, called Bright Ideas. Lessons will focus on conversational English, daily life skills, and civics and community engagement. Participation in Bright Ideas early in the resettlement process will provide socialization, peer support, and purposefulness to counter the isolation and depression which threaten many elderly, but especially refugee elderly. Most students will participate in these classes for 1 to 4 years before transitioning to citizenship classes during the last 2 years before they become eligible to apply for naturalization. refugee elders, resettlement in a strange new country, and the need to learn a new language can be especially difficult for elderly refugees. Resettlement services have historically focused on meeting basic needs for food and shelter, helping families enroll their children in school, and assisting working-age adults with finding employment. Without age-appropriate support, many newly arrived refugee elders adapt poorly to their new lives and become depressed and socially isolated, either alone or within families where they rely on younger relatives to interpret and negotiate with outside world for them. CLEAS programs provide socialization, peer support, English proficiency, cultural adjustment, and case management so that the refugee elders achieve citizenship, independence in their daily lives, and successful integration in their new communities. How CLEAS supports refugee elders. CLEAS developed the Bright Ideas ESL curriculum so that refugee elders could receive English language instruction with their peers in an environment which matches the needs of older learners. Bright Ideas focuses on the immediate needs and interests of older adults, active participation, and problem solving. Lessons include field trips to the grocery, post office, and other neighborhood sites, and activities in which students practice asking for directions, making medical appointments by phone, finding good prices and healthy food in the grocery store, reporting symptoms to their doctor, and introducing themselves and making friends. Bright Ideas also includes lessons in civics, which prepare students for citizenship. With funding from the Refugees Entrance Social Services, or RSS, program, CLEAS has trained and assisted case managers at Catholic Charities, the Ethiopian Community Association of Chicago, Heartland Health Alliance, Jewish Child and Family Services, Refugee One, and World Relief, who are dedicated to meeting the needs of refugee elders. CLEAS has trained mainstream senior service providers to ensure that refugee elders receive services for which they are eligible and which maintain quality of life and independence for all seniors. The Refugee Agricultural Partnership Program, or RAPP, supports gardening and farming to promote health and economic independence for newly arrived refugees in targeted communities across the United States. Thanks to the funding from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Resettlement Services, CLEAS brought RAP to Chicago to provide meaningful engagement for refugee elders and to support the traditional roles of elders as providers and teachers within many refugee families. By matching the agricultural expertise of refugees from rural backgrounds with training about urban farming in a temperate climate, RAP builds on the strengths of refugee families and enables them to create their own income and food security here in the United States. And now this wonderful story from Diverse Elders, November 2016, refugee elders support each other after a long, difficult journey, by Hitomi Yoshida, with support from Naw Daw Sri Walensky and Melissa Fogg, members of the Southeast by Southeast Community Center in Philadelphia. Hitomi is a longtime friend of the Diverse Elders Coalition, and you can read her stories of intergenerational work with Diverse Elders in our Diverse Elders Stories initiative. Naw Gaile is a 77-year-old Karen refugee from Myanmar, or Burma. The Karen people are an ethnic and religious minority group that has been persecuted throughout much of Burma's history. As a young woman, Naw Gaile worked in a rice field and began raising her family in a rural village in central Burma. When she reached her mid-30s, the whole village had to flee from Burmese military insurgents. She lost her husband in this brutal civil conflict and was forced to live in the jungle with her six children for many years, hiding from the Burmese soldiers. Eventually, the family arrived at a refugee camp along the Thailand border in 2001. She was already in her 60s by then. My whole life, I had to run away with my family in the jungle until I got to the camp, she recalls. After spending more than 10 years at the under-resourced refugee camp, Nongele and her family were presented with an opportunity for resettlement in the United States. With support from a local refugee settlement agency, she and her family started a new life in Philadelphia in July 2010. My family, they needed my help, so I came to the States, said Nongele. It was difficult first, but I am adjusting and trying to learn everything in my new life. Despite the unthinkable life challenges she experienced, Nongele demonstrates unwavering resilience with an ongoing sense of hope. Right now, I am improving my English, and I am happy for that, she says. I want to go out and see new things because I survived my life in the jungle. I have experience. I can find a way and figure out. Nongele currently lives with her daughter and two grandchildren in South Philadelphia. She has a total of 18 grandchildren. Her other children live in different places in the state, so she often travels to visit them and care for her grandchildren. Active Aging, Positive Memories. To address the unique needs of elderly refugees and connect them to one another, Philadelphia Refugee Mental Health Collaborative started a refugee senior program in the fall of 2013 at Southeast by Southeast, a community hub operated by Mural Arts Philadelphia through its Porchlight program, funded by the City of Philadelphia's Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability Services. Now managed through Mural Arts, the program is often offered to refugee elderlies on a weekly basis. Karen and other seniors participate in a range of recreational activities, including arts and crafts, baking, and singing. Nongele plays an active role in this program. She calls and encourages other seniors who are hesitant to come out. She escorts them from their homes to the community center by walking with them. Believing that productive activities promote the well-being of refugee elders, she asserts, I want my friends to get opportunities to learn. Because in Burma, at the camp, we worked every day, farming, collecting wood for cooking, so we stayed happy. But not here. They do not feel happy because they are not active enough. Learning English is a major challenge for many adult Burmese refugees, especially because they did not have any formal literacy education in rural Burma, nor at the camp. Therefore, Nongele says she is grateful that the community center offers English class. She also stresses the challenge of maintaining their native language, Karen. As the younger generation picks up English and adjusts to American culture quickly, they are losing their native language and cultural identity. Among all of the senior programs she participates in, Nongele shares that she has enjoyed learning English, baking, and craft making the most. She points out the themes of natural beauty and wildlife that often emerge in their activities. Painting colorful flowers and creating farm animals with Play-Doh have revitalized their spirits by enabling them to reminisce about the stability of their former lives in rural Burma. In Burma, when we were little, we played with clay. In this program, we used Play-Doh and made animals like a cow, a water buffalo, said Nongele. These animals are familiar and comforting to the Karen seniors because they grew up with them and miss seeing them, she explains. One person, he drew an elephant in a field, saying, "This is my elephant." That's his memory, she continues. I drew chickens, roosters, and chicks. We miss that time, seeing different animals. Insects, we remember. Revitalizing positive memories from the past and tapping into their strong sense of cultural heritage are crucial to foster refugee seniors' senses of well-being. By encouraging seniors to come out of their houses and to share images and stories from their native countries through various artistic projects, active elders like Nongele, along with staff members at the Southeast by Southeast Community Center, are facilitating culturally relevant activities that improve refugee elders' mental and emotional health. And now this report from the Population Reference Bureau, Inform, Empower, Advance, Elderly Immigrants in the United States by Paola Scomenga, October 2013. In 2010, more than 1 in 8, 11.9%, U.S. adults age 65 and older were foreign-born, a share that is expected to continue to grow. The U.S. elderly immigrant population rose from 2.7 million in 1990 to 4.6 million in 2010, a 70% increase in 20 years. This newsletter highlights recent studies of older immigrants in the United States conducted by the National Institute on Aging, NIA, and supported researchers and others. Elderly immigrants are a diverse group from a wide range of life circumstances. Some are highly trained professionals who immigrated early in their careers. Others are the recently arrived elderly parents of naturalized citizens, and some immigrated with their families when they were young children. Understanding both the unique characteristics of elderly foreign-born adults and the challenges some of them face is important as policymakers and planners address the well-being and health of the United States' aging population. Demographic trends. Fueling the growth of the U.S. immigrant population, ages 65 and older, are two trends: the aging of the long-term foreign-born population and the recent migration of older adults as part of family reunification and refugee admissions. This ongoing migration makes projecting the future size of the elderly immigrant population challenging. One projection estimated that the number of U.S. immigrants age 65 and older will quadruple to more than 16 million by 2050. Latin America has replaced Europe as the leading birthplace of America's older immigrants. In 2010, a larger share of older foreign-born adults were of Latin American origin than of Asian or European origins. In 2010, a majority of immigrants age 65 and older had entered the United States before 1970. Analysis of American Community Service data suggests that 10% of immigrants age 65 and older have been in the country fewer than 10 years in 2010. Most U.S. immigrants who settle in this country after age 60 are sponsored by their adult children who had immigrated to the United States as young adults. Beginning in 1965, family reunification provisions in the U.S. immigration policy gave naturalized U.S. citizens the opportunity to petition for their parents' entry outside the usual quota restrictions. The annual number of late-life immigrants, age 60 and older, admitted to the United States has grown but has varied from year to year, from 40,000 in 1986 to more than 86,000 in 2010, with a high of nearly 101,000 in 2006, according to an analysis of the Department of Homeland Security data. Long-term immigrants who arrived as children or young adults and are aging in place as long-standing U.S. residents tend to face challenges similar to their U.S.-born peers. By contrast, immigrants who migrate after age 60 are often a potentially vulnerable population due to limited English language proficiency, little or no U.S. work experience, and weak ties to social institutions. They face rules barring them from participating in most entitlement and welfare programs unless they become naturalized citizens. But their language skills and age are often a barrier to naturalization. Compared to immigrants who arrive earlier in life, late-life immigrants are more likely to be female, to have low educational levels, to have limitations on physical functioning, and to be widowed. Recent older immigrants are more likely than long-standing immigrants to settle outside traditional destination cities such as New York, Los Angeles, and Miami. Late-life immigrants are contributing to growing immigrant populations in rural areas and small towns in Midwestern and Southern states, including Minnesota, Kansas, Georgia, and North Carolina. English proficiency is particularly important for functioning in rural areas. Bilingual staff in healthcare settings, senior service agencies, and legal aid organizations are rare in many places. Economic circumstances. Foreign-born elderly tend to have less personal income than U.S.-born elderly on average. But overall, by any number of measures, family or household income, unadjusted for household size, is higher for the foreign-born elderly than for the U.S.-born elderly. This likely reflects both the living arrangements of the elderly immigrants and higher levels of labor force participation for elderly immigrant men who have been in the United States for fewer than 10 years. Extended family living, more common among immigrant groups, tends to boost household income because multiple earners are often present. In addition, family income captures not just the income of the elderly person, but also, for dependent elderly, income of other family members. Similarly, household income captures income from all persons at the same address. Reliance on a different mix of economic resources in old age accounts for some of the income differences between immigrant and U.S.-born elderly. U.S.-born elderly were considerably more likely than immigrant elderly to receive Social Security benefits, investment income, and retirement benefits such as pensions. These differences may be the result of the high proportion of immigrants originating from less economically developed countries. These immigrants tend to lack human capital necessary to obtain jobs that provide pensions, may lack adequate health insurance, and often have a harder time accumulating resources for retirement. Immigrant elderly were more likely to be employed than the U.S.-born elderly, 30% versus 18% in 2007. Gerst and Burr suggested that this reliance on earned income implies a heavier dependency on continued employment in later life. The need to continue working makes the economic well-being of the immigrant elderly more vulnerable to labor market fluctuations and health problems than if they had greater access to pensions and Social Security benefits. Older immigrants' higher employment rates are driven in part by incentives related to Social Security program eligibility. Analysis of 30 years of census data, 1970 to 2000, shows that as retirement age approaches, the employment rate of foreign-born men declines more slowly than that of U.S.-born men. Before their late 50s, foreign-born men tend to have lower employment rates than U.S.-born men. But after their early 60s, immigrant males tend to have higher employment rates. This crossover point is related to Social Security benefit eligibility rules that require workers to be employed for at least 10 years in the United States. Once the 10-year minimum is met, foreign-born workers tend to retire. By age 70, U.S.-born and immigrant men have similar labor force participation rates. Not surprisingly, immigrant elderly are more likely to have income below the poverty line than U.S.-born elderly. In 2010, 8% of U.S.-born elderly lived below the poverty threshold, compared to 16% of foreign-born elderly. The U.S. Census Bureau in 2012 estimates that within the foreign-born elderly population, 15% of older Asian immigrants, 21% of older Hispanic immigrants, and 23% of older Mexican immigrants lived below poverty line in 2010. Another measure of economic need is participation in Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. In a period 2006 to 2010, 5% of U.S.-born elderly lived in households participating in SNAP, while the share of elderly Hispanic was 4 times higher and the share of elderly Asian immigrants more than twice as high. Living arrangements. Compared with their U.S.-born peers, elderly immigrants are more likely to live in extended family households, especially those who arrived in the United States after age 60. Older adults, usually classified as residing in an extended family household if they live with at least one other relative other than a spouse or a young child. Extended family households often are established as a response to economic need, providing a way to conserve limited income and assets. Extended family living may also reflect cultural preferences among some immigrant groups, shaped by long-standing practices of filial piety. Such households may be established to provide intergenerational support, such as child care, or to address concerns about aging relatives' health status or social isolation. For late-life immigrants, the extended family living arrangements may represent the support provided by the adult child who sponsored the parents' immigration. However, Vietnamese immigrants age 50 and older participating in focus groups expressed fear of losing independence and becoming a burden to their families. Chinese and Latino focus group participants, both U.S.-born and immigrant, also voiced these same worries. Living with and caring for grandchildren. Immigrants 65 and older are much more likely than U.S.-born elderly to live with their grandchildren. In 2007, about 14% of immigrant elderly lived with at least one grandchild, compared with just 4% of older U.S.-born elderly population. However, among grandparents living with their grandchildren, older immigrant and U.S.-born elderly were equally likely to have primary responsibility for caring for these children. Well, while there's more information in that article, I believe the portions that you heard related to the essence and maintain the integrity of that whole in general. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.